From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with your state and local news update. A few members of Bartlett Regional Hospital's vaccine distribution team greeted the plane this afternoon carrying Juneau's first 975 doses of the COVID-19 vaccine.
You're here to make sure it gets to Bartlett.
Oh, here it comes.
KTOO's Jeremy Shea reports.
A UPS courier picked up the box with Pfizer's vaccine and drove it the last few miles to Bartlett Regional Hospital. Three hospital workers in scrubs roll a cart out to receive the delivery. Next, the pharmacists on the distribution team lock themselves away, thaw some of the vials that have to be kept super cold to avoid spoiling, and prep individual doses.
After it arrives in Juneau, we might be giving the first vaccine 2 hours later.
Charlie Gribben is the infection preventionist at Bartlett Regional Hospital. Hospital staff are among the first in line to get vaccinated.
Initially, we thought maybe 130 people would want the vaccine, like right away. And now we have 400 people on that list. I am just so excited that people trust us and are as excited as I am that this is the beginning of the end of this pandemic.
Gribben says they can administer the vaccine to about 12 people every 30 minutes. The pace is limited in part by 15 minutes of waiting time after the injection before checking out.
This is a new vaccine, and we want to make sure we are completely ready for any adverse reaction, and we want to make sure we're monitoring.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention have highlighted that significant percentages of people in the clinical trial had mild to moderate fever, fatigue, headaches, and chills over a group that got a placebo. A few had more severe reactions.
It's expected. It's known. A fever in this case is actually good. It's your body building antibodies. It's working.
To be effective, a second dose is required 3 weeks later. The reactions after that shot were more pronounced in the clinical trial.
And that, you know, you might need to lay on the couch for a day or two while your body works.
Gribben says they're staggering members of the same teams at the hospital because people are expected to take some time off after being vaccinated.
Do you personally have any hang-ups about getting it, or are you on that list of 400 people right now?
I am on that list. Yeah, I have no hang-ups.
Gribben says the six hospital workers who've already had COVID-19 are also still eligible for the vaccine. Though at this point, getting vaccinated doesn't come with any special privileges.
It's not like free license to go breathing in everyone's faces or whatever.
No.
The CDC says it may take 1 or 2 weeks after the second shot for the protection to take effect. CDC also says everyone should continue taking COVID-19 precautions as the vaccines are studied in real-world conditions. Recipients are encouraged to sign up for a CDC tool on their smartphones called VSafe. Makes reporting side effects easy and helps the CDC monitor for them. It also gives users reminders to get the follow-up shot.
Having the vaccine does not mean that COVID-19 is already going away and that we can go back to normal right away.
Gina Del Rosario oversees the Juneau Pioneer Home, where there's more than 70 staff and room for 49 residents. She says Safeway is scheduled to vaccinate her staff and residents the last week of December.
For a long time, I see us continuing to practice infection control, wearing our mask, hand washing, sanitizing, distancing.
Residents of long-term care facilities like hers are part of the initial groups of people eligible for the vaccine.
There are many people who are actually excited that this is coming. Residents who are waiting for the doors to open, because currently our doors are still locked.
At Bartlett Regional Hospital, officials say vaccinations are beginning. In Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea.
In other news, a city-owned Mendenhall Valley property sold to a local developer in 2018 will return to City and Borough of Juneau ownership. The Juneau Assembly approved the transfer of the Hurlock Avenue lot at its meeting last night, along with leasing the property to Tlingit and Haida Regional Housing Authority for use as an emergency youth shelter. Alaska Legacy Partners bought the property from the city in 2018. The agreement included a condition that the existing existing building become an assisted living facility. Under the new terms, the property will return to city possession at no cost. The city will keep Alaska Legacy Partners' down payment and forgive the remaining debt, which is more than $300,000. Garrett Schoenberger says Alaska Legacy Partners' plans for the property fell through when the city approved a competing assisted living development nearby.
We're not making a dime of profit on this. We're simply looking to get reimbursed for some of our costs, out-of-pocket costs, above our down payment. So
Schoenberger says they looked at local groups who could provide a needed service to the community. They worked with the Housing Authority after learning that Juneau currently has no emergency shelter for youth. The shelter would be managed by the city's Zach Gordon Youth Center, with the Housing Authority acting as landlord and property manager. The property transfer will take some time to complete. Local housing advocates say an emergency shelter for youth is badly needed, especially as the pandemic continues. Juneau resident Majid Sateri was killed by a neighbor in his apartment building in November. Since his work for the school district meant that he was often on a school bus, his friends, neighbors, and co-workers held a memorial bus ride on Saturday to honor his life. I spoke to some of Sateri's friends and co-workers for this story. Majid Sateri worked for the Juneau School District as a school bus aide, someone who helps bus drivers load and unload kids safely. He was known to his friends, neighbors, and co-workers as Mark. On a cold, icy Saturday afternoon, about half a dozen school buses lined up in front of Juneau Douglas High School. Dressed in winter clothes, masked up, and socially distanced, those who knew him best were there to honor him. Inside the lead bus, Kevin Hansen, one of Sateri's co-workers, directs the driver on the route to each stop as somber music plays on the radio.
He was an amazing man, and I, like I said, I can't stress how great he was to the people that he worked for. The smile on his face is something that is near and dear, so he was a good man.
Mick Lowry knew Sateri for the last 20 years. He says they were like extended family. A neighbor has been charged with murder in connection to Sateri's death, but Lowry says the school bus memorial wasn't about how his friend died.
We're not really involved in an outcome or anything. What we're doing is we're just trying to have a memorial for Mark and show everybody that we cared and appreciated him, and that's what this is all about. It's not anything else.
Lowry says Sateri really loved his job.
They all loved Mark. All the kids always loved Mark. He was just the nicest guy. He always had a big smile on his face.
He was also known as a helpful neighbor.
When he wasn't working and helping out with the school bus, he was driving his neighbors around and helping them do things. And he always just seemed to be there to help people when they needed it.
The bus caravan stops by various places in the community where people knew Sateri, including Glacier Valley Elementary and Mendenhall River Community School, as well as his home. A small group of his neighbors waved to the buses from outside the Mountain View Apartments where he lived. Friends say he is already dearly missed. In Juneau, I'm Pablo Rospeña. In other news, the city and borough of Juneau stopped accepting applications for its COVID-19 Individual Assistance Grant Program yesterday. The funds are for people who have been financially impacted by the pandemic. The city says it's stopping the process because it expects to use all its available funds for people who have already applied. The Juneau Assembly set aside $2 million of federal CARES Act funding to help people pay for basic needs like food, health care, and transportation. Catholic Community Service, the organization administering the program, received about 1,800 applications within the first 6 days. Staff are currently processing applications and will email eligible applicants. The city's housing assistance program also stopped accepting applications over the weekend, but not because it anticipated running out of funds. It was already scheduled to close on December 12th. And Governor Mike Dunleavy wants the state government to sever its ties with financial institutions that won't finance oil and gas development in the Arctic. Dunleavy announced in a news release today on Monday, that his administration will introduce a bill during the upcoming legislative session that would require state departments to end any existing relationship with the businesses. This is KTOO News.